He's the criminal's worst nightmare. A cop who enjoys the danger.
No guns, no jiu-jitsu, just bring him down.
Do you really want to jump?
Well, then that's fine with me. Come on.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait a minute. What the...
He was ready to retire. Now, he's going to wish he had.
Raj, meet your new partner.
New partner? Too old for this.
Don't kill anybody.
Suppose we better register you as a lethal weapon.
You ever met anybody you didn't kill?
Well, I haven't killed you yet.
How do we start this?
Welcome to the worst cops ever.
Welcome to the worst cops ever. Worst
My name is David.
Cops ever. Yeah.
My name is David Bell.
It sure is. My name's Tom Ryman.
This is the final one. If you haven't been paying attention, we've been watching every Lethal Weapon film.
Yep.
Thanks to our Patreon producer, John Ryman, who has tasked us with watching these to talk about just how terrible Riggs and Murtaugh are.
It's fine.
As I explained to Tom before starting this, I took a lot of cough medicine last night, so I'm all fucked up today.
Yeah, man.
You ever get that cough medicine hangover? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a dream. Like, I could be dead already. I don't know.
Yeah, you could be haunting me right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Who can say?
I don't know who I am.
Who among us
I don't know
say.
What's going on.
Yeah. No,
it's gonna be good.
Yeah, no, this is
gonna be good
times. This is gonna be good, good content. Good,
solid
content. So, as Dave mentioned, this is a mini series that John Ryman sponsored through our Patreon, and this is the final episode. We're on Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah. Titled Lethal Weapon 4.
Titled Lethal Weapon 4. Yeah, they didn't get cute with the titles of these movies.
They didn't. Well, yeah, especially with this one. I wanted to talk about, because I read about the background of this a little bit.
Oh, okay.
This was made in 6 months from beginning to end. This was greenlit 6 months before it came out.
Wow.
Yep. Because, what is this, Warner Brothers?
Yes.
They were having a bad time. Batman and Robin had come out. Conspiracy Theory came out.
Lost in Space too. Oh no, that's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's New Line. But
The only hit they had at the time was Contact. And in the future, they were looking at the U.S. Marshals, Sphere, and the Postmen. So they sort of knew. Also, they had the Avengers coming out, the adaptation, and the Negotiator and Soldier. So they were looking at their lineup and they're like, man, we need something.
It's a lot of dog shit.
Yes.
I mean, I love most of those movies, but they're all dog shit.
Box office wise, it was like, this isn't going to be good. So the movie was given a July 1998 release, and they started shooting on January 8th that year, physical production.
Wow.
There was never a finished script. They didn't have the ending when they started shooting. They added Joe Pesci and Chris Rock later on because they didn't know they could get them.
That makes sense. Like Leo particularly, like Joe Pesci's character in particular, you could remove him from the film. Chris Rock's not so much. Like, he's kind of important.
Yeah, apparently not that important.
Yeah.
They had the final footage. They finished shooting 33 days before the release.
God damn.
To edit it and distribute it in a month's time.
So this was a fucking rush.
But that said, it did good in the box office, and Warner Brothers got what they needed.
Yes, it definitely did. I remember going to see this movie when it came out. It was a big deal.
It came out in 98. It's weird to think about, like, what else, like, there were, it's like oddly quaint, like Saving Private Ryan was this year.
Yes.
Armageddon. Like it's kind of a throwback film.
Yeah, very much so. And I remember it being a big deal, and it makes sense now hearing about that. It was. You know, greenlit and produced and released in 6 months. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like, yeah. I had no, I mean, it's it, the internet was sort of like, I wasn't online back then. And I wasn't really like, I wasn't like reading trade magazines or anything in Norfolk, Virginia.
Sure.
But I still usually knew like what movies were coming out. I had no fucking idea this movie was coming out. And then until I saw a poster of it at the movie theater, I was like, what? Yeah.
And I remember that trailer because they, yeah, they just do the first
scene. It's just the flamethrower guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we get in the plot?
Yeah. Unless you have anything else interesting to say about the making of.
No. It just, I did a quick, read of it. Mm-hmm. And that was the most I could find. I was watching like the behind the scenes making of.
Yeah.
Two you can see online, which is pretty cool. There's I mean, we'll get into it, but that car stunt where they drive through the building.
Uh-huh.
If you watch the behind the scenes, it is more incredible than you think.
You can you can kind of tell like the scene, yeah, where the two window washers have to duck out of the way as the car, yes, bursts through the window. It's like that's they all real.
Yeah, they show them having already kind of been out of the way. Like, I don't think they show that stunt fully in the movie because they're standing right in the path of the car. And they do, like, one of them says a line and goes, like, watch out! And they both have to just leap out of the way as the, and, yeah, jump off of the thing as the car goes through. And it was watching it, now knowing they had, like, 6 months to bang this out,
mm-hmm,
it was like, that can't be safe at all.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't. That's probably why they, yeah, cut the scene short to where they're already on opposite ends of the little, yeah, little platform. Because Richard Donner's like, well, I don't want anybody to see how much at risk I put these two guys' lives. Because that stunt is nuts.
That stunt is out of control, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess we can get into the plot. So, it's Lethal Weapon the Fourth. Unclear how much time has passed. Probably the same amount of time. So, like, I think Lethal Weapon 3 was 92? We had this conversation already.
Yeah.
So it's been like 6 years. Mel Gibson and Renee Russo have moved in on the beach together, and she's pregnant, and Murtaugh's oldest daughter, I'm blanking on her name.
I don't know anybody's name.
Rianne. Rianne is pregnant as well. And you know, it's just Riggs and Murtaugh are you know, they're both old now. And they're out fishing one night, and they just happen to intercept this gigantic freighter that's full of illegal immigrants. Well, not illegal immigrants, it's full of people who are being smuggled into the country.
Yeah,
it's trafficking, it's human trafficking.
Because that's 9 months after the opening where they both learn, Murtaugh learns he's going to be a grandfather, mm-hmm, and Riggs learns he's going to be a father.
Yes.
That's all. Then 9 months later, they're on the boat. Sorry.
9 months later, they're fishing on the boat. They intercept a human trafficking vessel that's carrying people in from China, and it's like the Chinese triad. And Murtaugh takes home one of the, there's a big family that was being trafficked on the boat, and he takes them to his house. They basically, it's part of a scheme like where this Jet Li is the villain. He's a Chinese triad guy, and he's basically forcing this artist to counterfeit him money so that he can pay off a corrupt Chinese general to release these four huge triad guys, one of whom is his brother. And Riggs and Murtaugh stumble onto that plan. And then they kill everyone.
Yes.
The end.
And then they have babies.
And then they have babies at the end.
There's a B plot where Chris Rock, who is also a cop, mm-hmm, is secretly the father of Murtaugh's grandson.
The father and husband to Rian.
Husband,
they got married in secret.
Right, and then Riggs and Rene Russo have a subplot where they don't know if they want to get married or not.
Well, it's Riggs, really. Like,
yeah, she's playing along.
Yeah, she's very noncommittal about it, but we eventually find out that she does really want to get married. And like, I'll give Lethal Weapon 4 some credit. Like, the moments where they have Riggs talking about why he's unsure about wanting to get married are like pretty deep, or at least,
yeah, because,
yeah,
he's hung up about how his wife died,
right,
because he was a cop.
Well, and also the fact that he's a widower, and it's like, is me marrying somebody else a betrayal?
Yeah, for sure. They did good with the B story because, all right, you're making your fourth Lethal Weapon. Mm-hmm. And again, you're making it in 6 months.
You're making it in 6 months with barely a script.
Yeah. And it's really easy. I think of, I've talked about this, I'm sure, on Hypecast or something, Jack Ryan season two. And Jack Ryan season one, he has this romantic relationship with a woman. And then in Jack Ryan season two, they just never mention her again. Mm-hmm. And they kind of reset things. Because that's what a lot of these movies end up doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, they end up being like, oh, and she's gone for some reason. Anyway, well, yeah. New romantic
stuff.
Yeah,
they just never mention it. It's like real James, some real James Bond shit.
Yeah. And so Lethal Weapon was kind enough to be like, okay, like, he's a widower, and he's, you know, the first one, he's dealing with that. And then he, as the movie progresses, it's like he gets in a relationship. And then where does it go from there? It's like, well, getting married and having kids. Like, let's keep it going. I think a lot of movies, they don't think there's drama past the romance stuff, past relationships forming, and they want to reset. But there's like, it keeps staying dramatic if you're...
Yeah, if you just continue to explore the characters and...
Yeah, and that's what they do, and I appreciate that. It's a low bar. We're talking about a low bar here, but...
Right, but they at least hit it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Should we get to the first scene?
Yeah, we should.
So, the world is objectively a worse place because of the police in this universe.
Yes.
Is my theory.
Right, there's flat out a supervillain.
Yes. Beginning. They are fighting a flamethrower wielding man who doesn't want anything but to just destroy. Which
and like
we'd
listen,
all become.
Listen to his jams. Like, he's just listening to his jams.
Yeah. In a world where cops will randomly pull their gun out on jaywalkers, as we learned.
What if that's the guy? What if that's the jaywalker?
Oh my god, it probably is.
What if we just blew the lid off this whole thing?
I think we might have.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like we hit it.
Mm-hmm.
It yeah, it's, man. It's the world is descending into chaos.
Yeah. No, this is the beginning of like a dystopian future, for sure.
Yes. And then we learn in that scene that Riggs is going to be a father, and I was like, oh no, don't do that.
We don't need this.
Yeah.
Also, to dispatch that guy, they blow up an entire gas station.
Yeah, people are killed.
Oh yeah, a tanker truck.
Yeah, Murtaugh gets in his underwear, mm-hmm. which is...
Sure.
I mean, that's a hell of a thing.
Yep.
This is almost like I'm almost bored with pointing out
how crazy
bad
they
cops
are
in this scene, because it's like, yeah, this is your standard fucking Riggs and Murtaugh insanity, right?
One of them gets
in their underwear and runs out to distract.
This is like such a new level of insanity, though.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Like stripping naked to dance in front of an actual supervillain in the Lethal Weapon movies.
Any other reality, he would have been torched.
Right, and there probably wouldn't have been an armored flamethrower guy, you know?
Right.
Like listening to Van Halen or whatever the hell he's listening to.
Yeah, Metallica. I don't know. I don't know what that was.
Oh, man. That guy. The whole movie could have been about that guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, I want to know more about that guy. This movie starts at the finale of another movie.
Yes.
Which I always appreciate.
Yeah, they probably, because it has nothing to do with anything, they probably shot it separately.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, like, the stuff like, you're going to be a grandfather and I'm going to be a father, they're all inserts.
Right, yeah.
So they could have just easily added that later once they knew kind of what the rest of the movie was. And then the fact that
That's
they used
true.
This for the trailer, it's like, well, they probably just kind of filmed this, like, quick one-off thing. So, hey, let's get another wacky Riggs and Murtaugh adventure, and here's the trailer.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's unrelated to everything
else.
It
has nothing to do with it. And they never mention it again. They never mention the fucking fire-breathing Superman that descended on Los Angeles. Yeah.
They also, like, it shows how much they've progressed in that they're clearly immortal.
Yeah, they just don't even care. They have no
fear
of death.
They don't care. they're having casual conversations, and they do, they continue to have casual conversations throughout, you know. It's just, they know they're, it reminds me of watching a superhero movie where they'll also be having casual conversations because bullets can, you know, ricochet off of them. So yeah, he's just like, go out in your underwear, let's see if that'll work. And then he's like, yeah, make chicken noises. And secretly later, he's like, I just wanted to see if you could do it. And it's like, there is a man with many guns and a flamethrower out there.
And a suit of armor. Yeah.
Yep.
Like futuristic Ned Kelly is out there.
Yeah. It's a hell of a scene.
It's quite a way to begin the film, that's for sure.
Yes. After that, we go to the boat. where they are attempting to kill a shark.
Yeah.
Which is...
Leo has caught a shark.
Yeah. Which I think is illegal?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a weird way to make me want to like the heroes, because the shark spends most of the scene suffocating.
Right, struggling on the deck of their ship.
Yeah, well, they just casually talk, and they're like, ah, should we let the shark? I don't know. And they never do until the boat sinks, right. And then it's a good bit. It's a great bit.
The boat dramatically sinks.
Yeah, because trouble just falls right into their laps. Mm-hmm. Well, it's very last action hero at this point.
At this point, yeah, and it's like, I think a thing about, like, knowing that they were kind of making this movie up as they went along, and that a lot of elements didn't come in until the last minute, makes the fact that they have these casual conversations during intense gunfights make more sense.
Yeah.
Because that's like, they can just do quick inserts into these action scenes to get some exposition out of the way.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, they go out for a night of fishing, and they end up trying to kill a shark and blowing up two boats.
Yeah.
And
you know, stumbling upon, stumbling upon a vast criminal conspiracy.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
And then Murtaugh steals a family.
Right, which is, I mean... This is one of the ones.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, you kind of have to give it to him. Like, they do have a scene where Riggs is like, this is intensely illegal, which is funny because I think that's the first time he's ever said anything like that.
Right. Yeah. And they also inject a whole immigration. Like, Murtaugh has a whole thing on immigration.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
Which is pretty great.
Yeah, we talked about it in the previous episodes about how, like, every one of these movies kind of sticks in like some topical piece of political commentary. So there's that about the immigration, and there's also like, there's posters, there's anti-NRA posters all over the police station.
I saw that too, and it was like, oh, how quaint. This is still like a centrist middle of the road movie when it was made, it feels like.
Right. It's also
like, it's certainly not a liberal film.
It's also a year before Columbine.
Oh, wow.
So like, nobody's, yeah.
Yeah. It's a different world.
It is an entirely different planet that they're living on.
Yes. I want to quickly, because he's introduced in this part, I want to talk about Train Assassin.
Train Assassin, it's two guys, but they're amazing.
All right, they're the world's laziest assassins.
Right.
You see them later when they try it again, and it's like some guy in his 50s, and I was like, of course it is.
Right.
Because their bit is, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, they couldn't plan this stuff, right? Twice in a movie, a character is at a train track, and the train is coming, and they just happen to have pulled up, and there's an assassin behind them that shoves their car into the path of the train.
Right.
Now, the first time it happens, I figured that's an assassin that's there to kill him, sees the train and goes, oh, I got a great idea. This is going to be neat. But then he does it again.
Right. It's just their thing.
Yeah.
And like, in order for that to work, not only do you have to know that they're going to go to that train crossing, but you have to know there's going to be a train coming.
Right, it's both the laziest and least lazy way to assassinate
someone. Right, you're doing a lot of work so that you don't have to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
But I get it. Yeah.
And it's also a very easy trap to get out of, which Riggs shows later. He just steps on the gas.
Right, you just keep going.
You just drive forward.
Like, yeah. No, and it's the worst assassination.
It completely throws the assassins off because they drive right in front of the train. They're like, oh no!
Yeah,
I fell into my own trap.
Thus ends the saga of the train assassins.
Oh my god, he gets hit by two trains.
Yes, he does.
And he gets bounced onto another train track, and there's another train coming.
Yeah. That's, man.
What an evening.
Made in 6 months.
yeah. A lot of things are making sense now that I know that it was made in 6 months.
Fucking train assassin.
The goddamn train assassin.
You know, they're in there just eating fast food.
Oh,
just
hell
like,
yeah.
They no, look not like, yet. Wait for train tracks. Wait for train tracks. I'm not
like,
getting out.
Yeah, they look like a couple of minor league baseball coaches. Like, they're not.
Yeah, they really do.
They don't look like, you know, KGB assassins or anything. They just look like a couple of dudes.
Yep.
Oh, man. What the
There's freelance assassins.
What the fuck do Riggs and Murtaugh do next?
excuse me. After stealing a Chinese family.
Oh, right. They go to Uncle Benny's restaurant and destroy it.
Hold on. Before that happens, they are promoted.
They're inexplicably promoted from sergeants to captains.
To captains. Don't know why. And then I love that the office therapist has a scene where she has clearly lost her mind.
Yeah, I both liked it and hated it. I liked the fact that she's finally had enough of their bullshit.
Right.
Like, she's just like, look, man, I have a serious job, and you're an asshole all the time, so fuck off.
I mean, I think she's in a world where there's no consequences for cops.
Correct.
So she's lost her mind because she's the only sane person in this world.
Right. She's in a world where not only there's no consequences for cops, but the very idea of somebody needing mental health care is a joke.
Right.
Which we see in the beginning, which we see in Lethal Weapon when the jumpers.
It's a regular theme.
Yeah, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a weird theme of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
When Mel Gibson begins it, like, you know,
yeah,
completely unhinged.
On the ragged edge. And now he's just like, he's like a cartoon character at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Is this when they go to Chinatown? Is that when they bring Chris Rock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go with Chris Rock to Uncle Benny, who's this local gangster that they know traffics a lot of like drugs and stuff. So like, well, let's go talk to this guy.
I have to back it up because on their way to see Uncle Benny, Joe Pesci is following them.
Yeah.
And makes a kind of a racist assumption about Chris Rock being a perp in the back. And Chris Rock points his gun directly at him.
Yeah, while they're at a stoplight.
Yes, which leads me to believe just further that this is a dystopian, like, escape from L.A. universe where just cops are like this.
Right.
Because Chris Rock, they constantly talk about he's like the new generation, you know? Young folks coming in.
No, but he's just as crooked as they are.
Exactly. He's just as crooked.
And he also, he brings the movie to a stop three different times to just do a Chris Rock routine.
Which I don't hate.
No, I don't hate. They're funny.
Yeah,
they
I welcome
no
it.
They have no place in the movie, but they're funny.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to Chinatown.
Yeah, and they barge into the back office to interrogate Uncle Benny, and then shatter a gigantic window and then pull the fire extinguisher. So they they pull the fire alarm so the sprinklers come on. They completely demolish his restaurant.
Yeah, this
and
is
then
the
as they're
rampage
walking out, they're like
begun.
Chuckling to themselves, like, what are they gonna do? Call the bad guys can't call the cops. Like, yeah. And then like Chris Rock is in on it too. So it's like, oh yeah, this is just Judge Dredd. Like, you guys are just
bad guys can't call the cops, right?
Correct. That's what he says.
Yes, but you know who can is the patrons of the restaurant.
Right.
Like, they just shot a gun in a public place.
He doesn't shoot his gun.
He smashes
the window with his gun. And,
okay. And sets off the fire
pulls
alarm.
Pulls the fire alarm, yeah.
Yeah. Like, other people can call the cops. There's innocent people they're victimizing and terrorizing in that scene. Because they don't care.
Right. As well as completely destroying a business.
Yes. They've been promoted to captains.
They've just been promoted to captains, yeah. And they have no, I mean, Uncle Benny is dirty, but like they don't know that. They don't have any evidence. Right. And then you can't just like walk in and destroy an entire restaurant.
Yeah. No, you can't do that. It's illegal. I have to know this Chinatown scene. I've been to Chinatown in LA and I recognized a bunch of things. Those elevators. Mm-hmm. I've been on those elevators.
Oh, cool.
They're not doing good now.
Well, it's been 20 years.
Yeah, they're still there. I ate at the restaurant that they filmed Rush Hour in.
They had
a thing on the wall talking about it. Yeah, it's a great time. It's a great time. Now I know I've been part of Lethal Weapon history.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, they chase a guy, gets strangled by Jet Li.
He does. Yeah, he was the captain of the trafficking barge.
Yep. Well, my notes skip ahead here because they go back, and that's when Chris Rock and Joe Pesci start talking about cell phones.
Yep.
And my note here is that I want an entire film of Joe Pesci and Chris Rock complaining about things.
Right. Just recast Gone Fishing with Joe Pesci and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Or what's that Anthony Hopkins movie he made?
Bad Company.
Make Bad Company with Joe Pesci instead of Anthony Hopkins.
That's hard. I would say make Bad Company 2
mm-hmm.
and have all three of them.
Worse Company.
Worse Company.
Bam. Worse Company.
Perfect. Jerry Bruckheimer's Bad. Worse Company.
It's in theaters July 2020.
Yeah, let's do it. It's about this time that... Am I missing stuff? They break into their house?
No, you're not.
Okay, because the Chinese family... That's it. Murtaugh has a conversation with the...
With the grandfather. Yeah.
And he like mentions like, yeah, I called my brother.
His uncle.
They were like the same age, which is why I got confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like at that point, Murtaugh should realize like, this is dangerous, right? Like he knows that Jet Li is kind of linked to these people.
They don't really know, but I mean, he probably should know that it's dangerous anyway, because he's hiding human trafficking victims in his house.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So yeah, they do just kind of come home and, Jet Li and his gang have broken into the house.
Yeah.
Nothing terribly, I mean, they're fighting for their lives in that sequence. So it's not like they're being terrible cops.
I wanted to get into this this is surprisingly, I think the least, I mean, I might be missing stuff, but it's the least doing illegal shit movie.
There's long spaces where they're not doing illegal shit.
Yeah, because I think the world has assimilated to them.
Right.
I want to note Jet Li kicks a pregnant woman in the face
he
in the
sure
scene.
Does. He doesn't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't.
And then he ties up two different pregnant ladies and leaves them in a house to burn.
He sure does.
The next thing that happens is the car chase, which is wildly illegal.
Yeah, I want to know.
Just if for nothing else than the fact that they drive through an entire floor of an architectural firm,
and they don't stop.
They don't even slow down.
Yes, they don't care if they hit anybody.
They're pulverizing cubicles and workstations with people diving out of the way. Like, they're crushing these blueprints that these people have been working on. That it's like, that is hundreds of hours of work in addition to the lives that they're just flagrantly endangering as they drive through the floor of an office building. Yeah.
This all starts where they're trying to find the people who set their house on fire. And at this point, they have a helicopter. They could follow them, right?
They could, like, but they want
and arrest them.
They want to murder them.
Yes, and that's the thing.
And that's the whole thing. We're going to get into
instead,
that later, too.
They find a house that's being moved, a portable house. Riggs jumps in the house. And I want to note this because it's hilarious. Then he gets from the house to the other car. And he reaches through the car
and pulls the guy out.
Yes. When he reaches through, he doesn't use his fists, but the glass just shatters like he's the Terminator. He just reaches into the car, The glass shatters pulls the guy out like a fucking villain.
Yeah, like an unstoppable Hercules.
Yes, and then they proceed to fight on the highway. For some reason, the truck driver is completely oblivious to the chaos.
And then
they
try to
flag him down, and he just doesn't believe them.
Right, like Murtaugh tries to pull him over, and he's like, yeah, fuck you. And then he gets on his radio, some crazy guy with a fake badge. Like, why would you assume the badge was fake?
Yeah. Yeah, and they drive through an office. Meanwhile, I want to note, they told Leo to go follow the murderer.
Right.
That it's continuing to put Leo in danger. They hired him as a PI because he's a PI now. And they're like, go follow the gangster who probably lit our house on fire. And they even joke like, think he might kill him. And
yeah, Murtaugh points out, it's like, well, Uncle Benny will see him. It's like, yeah, I'll see him. Or maybe Uncle Benny will shoot him. He's like, well.
Yeah. I thought they were joking. And then later they call Leo and he's like, yeah, he's here. And it was like, wait, you actually did that?
Yeah. They actually had him follow Uncle Benny.
Yeah. And so that's where the highway chase leads to, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's when they go into they sneak into a dentist's office to torture a man.
Boy, do they.
Yeah.
This scene is pretty funny. Because Leo runs interference by coming in and pretending he's got a toothache. But apparently he's not pretending because they start doing a procedure anyway.
Yeah, either that or like he's pretending so well, they're like, well, there's got to be something wrong with him.
So let's just start drilling.
Yeah. It's chaos.
Yeah.
Again, written in... written, shot, edited in 6 months. So.
Conceived, written, shot, edited in 6 months.
So they pump them full of nitrous and they forget to shut it off and then they just all slowly die. And luckily the dentist comes in.
Right. Luckily the dentist intervenes before they just die of oxygen deprivation.
Yeah, because Chris Rock's also a maniac because they put the nitrous over him, over Benny, and they're just like, pump that nitrous up. And they just, none of them are trained for this. They just crank up the nitrous.
They don't have any idea what that's going to do.
Yeah, like, you are gonna... This is attempted murder. Like, this could be spun as attempted murder, for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
In court?
Well, definitely. Yeah. It's torture.
Yes, but I think, considering they don't know what the nitrous will do, and they just pump them full of it, like, that's gotta be... attempted murder
I think attempted murder specifically the intent has to be
to
kill them. But I mean, they are kidnapping him. They're holding him there against his will. They're torturing him with gas. That's a lot of laws.
Yes. That's a lot of laws. And then, yeah, they all get high. That's when Chris Rock reveals, because this whole time, the B story is that Chris Rock is sucking up to Murtaugh. His name is Butters. Chris Rock's name is Butters.
It sure is.
Yep. And
this is pre South Park Butters too.
Yeah. And Riggs convinces Murtaugh that Chris Rock is gay and he's into him. And it's the 90s, so that's a big thing.
Murtaugh kind of draws that conclusion himself, and Riggs doesn't do anything to stop it. Yeah, there's a lot of casual homophobia in this movie.
Yeah, of course there is.
Like when he goes up, Riggs walks up to Jet Li and says, enter the drag queen. It's like, what does that even
mean? That didn't make any sense.
Well, it's like simultaneously racist and homophobic.
Yeah. Oh, and there's some casual ass racism in this against Asian people. Oof. Of course there is. Yeah, so that's the reveal that Chris Rock is actually shtupping Murtaugh's daughter.
Yeah, they're married. They got married in secret. And the only person that, like, Riggs finds out because Rene Russo accidentally lets it slip. So, like, for part of the movie, there's this game of, like, everybody knows but Murtaugh.
Right. And it's just because he's a cop and he doesn't like him because he's a cop.
He didn't want his daughter to date cops.
We haven't talked about the other B story, which is the casual mention that Murtaugh might be a dirty cop.
Right, that Murtaugh might be embezzling money.
And Riggs is just like, kind of, he just casually calls him out on it. Like, he's not that worried. He just notices that he has a lot of walking around cash.
He's got a lot of walking around money. He just bought a new boat that Riggs then sinks. Right. But there's a line when Rene Russo lets it slide to him. She's like, yeah, my IA buddies tell me that they got word from some informant that Murtaugh's on the take. And Mel Gibson's like, bullshit. But then he says, I mean, I tried to convince him to take some money in the past. And he's like doing it like he's joking. But that's true because he tells him to take the money in Lethal Weapon 2.
Also, I wanted to mention this earlier. They're having this conversation at their Malibu beachside home. They are 100% on the take. Like, they are millionaires. That house is impossible.
Well, it's a trailer with like an addition built onto it. Yeah,
but it's like, I know where that is, and I know it's probably supposed to be like, it's movie logic, but it's like, no, that property is worth millions. They're on the fucking beach.
Yeah, yeah, they're literally right on the beach.
Yeah. No, that is, they are stupid rich.
Yeah.
Like, Mel Gibson is clearly on the take. He's gotta be.
Of course. He's like the Punisher. He murders criminals and then he takes their money.
Right. So yeah, they get high as shit. Did they just keep, the kid's name is Ping? That's the only kid from the family. They kidnapped the Chinese family that's...
Yeah,
at Murtaugh's house.
Jet Li takes them all, but they miss Ping, the little grandson.
And then they just sort of hang on to him.
Yeah, and then they just kind of, like, it's like Leo in the second movie. And then they just kind of drive him around like a dog. Yep. Like, he's just in the car with them.
Yep. They go to the detectives that are specifically, like, have knowledge of Chinatown. There's, like, a special department. And I want to note that they're the people who solve everything.
Yes, they are.
Riggs and Murtaugh don't do shit. They go to them and they say, like, then he said this, this, and this. And they're like, oh, he probably means this, this, and this. And you should go here. And I bet you this is what they're doing. And it's like, oh, thanks.
No, yeah, they don't do a single bit of investigation.
No.
Which is par for the course for Riggs and Murtaugh. All they do is like, hey, we know Uncle Benny's a Chinese guy and he's crooked. Let's go fuck with him. But like,
yes, that is how the investigation starts, isn't it?
That's the only thing they do. They know Chris Rock finds out that the boat captain was the one who murdered the people on the boat and then also finds the boat captain's dead body and just comes in and tells him that. It's like, hey, we got an ID on the shooter, but don't worry that he got away from you because somebody choked him to death. And then you're right, the other two cops... who are like specializing in investigating like the Chinatown tell them everything else. Like that Riggs and Murtaugh don't even like ask questions.
No, they don't. They're just like, this is where you go next. And the plot is that Jet Li is using counterfeit money to buy back like these gang members, the forefathers from the Chinese military, which this whole thing seems like, they need to call someone other than the LAPD.
This is an international incident.
Yes. Instead, Riggs and Murtaugh just drive into the deal, get out of the car, and say, hey, did you know the money's counterfeit? To the Chinese general. And just light the fuse on an international feud.
Right.
Between
like they make, they do not attempt, like they know where they're going to be. They know the family is there that they're looking for. Oh, right. No, they already have the family, I think. But like they know where Jet Li and all the bad guys are going to be. And they know where this huge, huge deal is going to like Interpol and like government agencies are going to have to get involved. But rather than call anybody, they're just like, I'm mad. I want to go find, like Riggs literally says, I want to go find these guys and shoot them. So they just drive in there and announce that the money's fake. Because they want to murder everyone.
Right, which ruins the deal. Like, aren't you supposed to, like, wait until the deal happens and then just arrest everybody?
No, not if you want to murder everyone. If you want to murder everyone, roll in and you tell the corrupt Chinese general that Jet Li is scamming him, and then they start killing everyone.
Yes, that's what they did.
Yep.
Yeah. Then they have to fight Jet Li, which is the least realistic part of the movie. The moment it's fucking Danny Glover and Mel Gibson versus Jet Li, I was like, no, like this is there's just only one way this will end, is with Jet Li murdering them.
Right. I think I go back and forth on that one because, yeah, Jet Li is a fucking badass. But like, it's, I don't know.
Watching behind the scenes, like, Jet Li is a real trooper, because there's scenes where there's like Danny Glover and Mel Gibson fighting his team, and it's like, yeah, they have to. I mean, this is their job, obviously.
Yeah, they do a lot of work. For it to make them look good. But yeah, I go back and forth on it. Like, I appreciate that it's like, it's kind of like that. You know how you always, I mean, this is different if your drunken friend at the bar is Jet Li. But you know, you have that drunken friend at the bar that's like, those guys looked at me funny, I'm going to fight them. And you're thinking like, that's two guys, they're going to kill you.
Right.
Like, you can't fight two guys at the same time. This is not a movie.
So, he's
like fucking super badass. So I don't know.
Well, I also like that the movie knew that they would take both of them.
Yes. And that like Riggs has to hit him with a pipe, and like Murtaugh has to stab him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And no, it's still like a Terminator. Yeah. Like it is a good fight because of what I'm saying, where it's these two guys who they have a bit about how they're getting too old for this shit.
Right.
They have a whole scene about it. And so it's these two guys who are like, they know they're kind of washed up, and Jet Li, who is just like a killing machine, and
yes,
they're on a dock, and it's just like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
This is not going to end well. And they have to kill him by stabbing him with like rebar, mm-hmm, and then shooting him at point blank range underwater.
Underwater, yeah. After Mel Gibson like lifts him up into the air, like he refuses to die.
Yeah.
It's like one other element of it is like, yeah, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover versus Jet Li, sure, but like Riggs is supposed to be like this ex special forces badass.
Sure.
He's just older.
So, yeah.
So he's not like a clown, but like, yeah, I do really like this fight because it's like he's just fucking demolishing them. But like you said, it does take both of them to stop him.
Yeah. We also learn in this scene that I mean, this is a big revelation for the ending of the final Lethal Weapon. I interpreted that the revelation that Riggs and Murtaugh have a psychic connection.
Yep.
Yeah. That is a weird revelation. I'm glad you're not questioning that either.
Oh no, Riggs, he is 100% psychic, yeah.
Yeah, Riggs gets drowned by Jet Li. Murtaugh is sitting on the dock and he keeps saying, "Will me, Riggs. Will me.
Will it to me."
It's been
a running thing throughout the film.
You're right.
Because at first they're trying to will the flamethrower guy not to turn around. And then they have that conversation about like where Riggs first realizes that he's old and he just can't do the thing. Like, he's like, first I thought I was out of shape, but it's more than that. And Murtaugh's like, yeah, you're old. Like, you just can't do the shit that you used to anymore. And he's like, no, I'm going to will it not to happen.
Right. And so he has, and then Riggs psychically wills him to spot where he is. And he goes under one. And he's like, you did it. Like, that's the fucking arc.
You did it,
that
Professor
these characters,
X.
This is a superhero origin movie. They're going to become superheroes from here on, right? And fight more supervillains?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. They're going to fight more flamethrower dudes.
Yeah. That's what we're watching, is a superhero film.
Yeah.
If the superheroes were horribly corrupt.
Yeah, if they were just grotesquely corrupt policemen. That would be what this is.
And they haven't changed. At the end, when he talks to his dead wife in the graveyard,
he almost
blows
Leo's head off. And then acts like it's an appropriate response. Like, he's just he's in a public cemetery just praying at a grave, and he hears somebody approach, so he immediately pulls out his gun.
Just littered, just brimming with PTSD at this point.
Yeah, Riggs is man, he is a danger to himself and others.
Yes. Leo tells the most heartbreaking story.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that it is, in fact, Joe Pesci, and he's a good actor.
Yeah, he crushes it.
Yeah, about a frog that he had, that he was his only friend, and he thought that if he kissed the frog, it would turn into a princess and be his mom.
Yeah.
And then he accidentally killed the frog when he was a kid by running it over with his bike. And then he says, I haven't had like a good friend like that until you. And what makes it the most heartbreaking is the fact that they earlier got him arrested for a DUI, pulled a gun out at him.
Yeah.
And has just been generally treating him like garbage and for sent, three movies.
And sent him to hunt Uncle Benny when they knew he might get killed.
Yeah. The arc at the end, because Mel Gibson, because they then go to the hospital because of the baby. That's the arc there, is Mel Gibson finally starts treating Joe Pesci like a human.
Like a human being. Yeah. And it's in that scene. I did appreciate where, like, when Leo's like, and then you and Roger, I met you guys. And you guys looked out for me more than you really needed to. And Riggs says, he's like, he says I'm terrible to you, Leo.
Yeah. That's the arc. It's and the realization of we've been torturing this man.
Yeah, and he's like, it's so weird because like we said it's a very low bar, but I did he's ashamed of himself when he says it. So it's like it's like, oh, all right. Like, he really did come around to being like, I'm terrible to this guy. And he's never done anything but help us.
This is an extremely low bar because they have been maniacs for the whole series.
Just like, chaotic, just whirlwinds of just wanton destruction.
This whole series is a story of two guys with guns and zero accountability.
Yes.
Slowly learning to be sort of a human being.
Yes, to be humans.
To be not monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's like watching the Star Wars prequels in reverse. Like, it's like watching Darth Vader slowly become the equivalent of, like, still kind of a kid you want to push.
Well, no, in that token, it's just watching the original Star Wars trilogy then.
Yeah, that's true. That works better. Yeah,
Vader being like, oh, right, I'm kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I should knock that off.
Like, yeah. But yeah, that's Lethal Weapon 4.
That's Lethal Weapon 4. Not a lot.
Tom,
this one, there were, you did, like you pointed out, there's not that many events of just wanton, flagrant breaking the law.
It's surprisingly
massive public endangerment, but the few that are there are huge.
Oh yeah. Starting an international incident is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Driving a car through an office building that's full of people.
Yeah. Yep.
And
not good.
Detonating a city block in downtown Los Angeles to dispatch a literal supervillain.
Yep. So we have a final section here, right, to close out this series?
Yeah.
Could you explain that?
Well, we didn't think of a title for this section because
doesn't matter.
Dave and I don't. We're sort of the worst cops ever ourselves. We're wildly unprofessional.
I am tripping on cough syrup, man.
Yeah, and I'm just terrible. I have no excuse.
This is a derailment. First time this was like I was a teenager and I didn't understand. Whenever I heard about robo tripping, I thought you had to drink like 5 bottles.
Nope.
To do it. So I had a really bad cough and I had to work the next day at a movie theater. So I drank an entire bottle of NyQuil.
That'll do it.
That will do it. Yeah, that's the only time I've ever robo tripped. I didn't mean to. I was very dumb. It was not a good day.
No, it's
I had to go
it's
to
awful.
Work.
It's awful. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good sensation.
Yeah, no, it's not cool. Not cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I drank some syrup back in, oh gosh, I was working at Panera.
Yeah. I don't know why people do it for fun. It's not fun.
Not really. I mean, I don't know. Anyway. So this section of this we're closing out the series. We're ending the series, but we're going to go back and look at all 4 movies and pick out what we think the worst moment in terms of them being just outlandishly terrible cops was from each movie. And then from those 4 moments, we're going to decide between Dave and I which moment was the absolute worst moment.
Yes. I already know my answer.
Okay, well, let's go through them. This will be interesting because I thought I knew my answer, and now I'm kind of like I'm not sure.
Okay.
But let's go through them. Okay.
Lethal Weapon 1.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon 1. What do you have?
oddly can't remember this movie that well right now in terms of insanity, because it feels now it feels kind of quaint. I would say the moment Riggs points a gun to his head in a crowded area.
It's not crowded. They're in, but people can see inside.
But like with people seeing inside, maybe the jumping off thing. But I would say there's something more like intense about a man screaming and pointing a gun straight to his head in front of another cop. What about you?
I picked either jumping off the building with the suicidal man.
Yeah.
Or running down Hollywood Boulevard firing a machine gun.
Oh, yeah.
And then also Murtaugh blows up a car in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, those are all bad things. Yeah, that's true.
So probably the Hollywood Boulevard stuff, like their their antics on Hollywood Boulevard is probably the most egregious thing they do in the first one.
Yeah.
That and taking a grenade to the desert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the Hollywood Boulevard shit for me.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to agree with you on that. I didn't remember that.
Okay.
I don't know, because I also like putting... No, I'm going to go with Hollywood Boulevard, because I think it's about putting other people in danger.
That's definitely, if we're going...
I think that's a bigger factor.
Right, if we're going by, like Mulder metrics, that's definitely the bigger factor.
Yes.
Okay, Lethal Weapon 2 for me, and I think it's probably going to be the same for you. I'll go first this time, so you went first on Lethal Weapon 1. It's pulling the fucking house down the hill.
All right. I'm going to
control.
Yes, I'm going to propose a different one, though.
Oh, really? Oh, man, I was so sure this would be yours as well.
Well, I think you're right, but I want to kind of test the car chase helicopter fight where the helicopter shoots at them.
Oh, the opening. No.
Right before the lady dies. Where they go on the date, they get shot at by a helicopter.
Oh, right, yeah, his trailer.
And then he just brings her home.
Takes her home.
Like the date is over. That is out of this world.
Date complete.
It's a different type of crazy, obviously.
Oh, man, that
but
is...
the fact that they get shot at by a helicopter, and then he doesn't do a single thing
He doesn't even call Murtaugh.
No, he doesn't do a... a different type of crazy, but if you were shot at by a helicopter, I don't care who you are, you're calling someone after that, and you're telling them about it, and you're saying, we're in danger.
Yeah.
Instead, they just end the night like it's any other night. That's out of control.
That's pretty wild, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to choose that one for the sake of having a different stuff. Mixture.
Okay, well, Lethal Weapon 3 is your turn to go first.
Okay, this is one I would say also we could probably agree on. I would say it's the act of terrorism that they commit at the beginning by detonating a building.
Oh, right. No, yeah. I didn't pick that one, but I think you're probably right. Oh, man.
They demolish a building, entire building.
And Riggs is so gung-ho about, there's not a fucking bomb in there. And then he starts fucking with the bomb, even though Murtaugh's like, wait for the bomb squad. He's like, no, I got it. Oh, shit, we got to run. And then levels an entire city block.
Yeah, that is terrorism.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're on a watch list. They're in Guantanamo now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
Mine was threatening to shoot a jaywalker in the middle of Santa Monica.
Also bad.
Just
very bad as well.
In like the promenade too, if I remember correctly. They're in like a pretty populated area.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I think yours in terms of public safety is probably
it's hard to beat blowing up a building.
Right, it's hard to beat actual domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
Do that. Oh, shit.
In this new one, I think driving through the office building, right?
Yeah, you jumped my turn, but I respect it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but that's mine, is driving through the office building.
Yeah. All right, well, what would you say then?
Well,
is the biggest one of the series.
Now you've thrown me even another curveball.
Yeah.
Because going into this, I was so sure that pulling the house down the hill was the worst thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then watching Lethal Weapon 4 right before we recorded this, I was like, it's the thing driving driving your car through that office building probably put more lives directly at risk. But recording this, you've just reminded me that Lethal Weapon 3 starts with domestic terrorism.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's they just keep topping themselves, especially with buildings.
Oh, man, they keep toppling buildings.
Yeah.
Christ, I'm still not sure. I can't decide between. They're all so bad. If you just keep thinking about the implications of it,
I'm going to have to go with domestic terrorism.
You think so?
Well, pulling the building down, I'm taking that right off the list because it's bad guys in the building.
Right, but it's rolling down the Hollywood Hills. It's going to hit.
True.
It's going to hit
true.
Other houses.
God, they're all so bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, shit.
At least I think that's the Hollywood Hills. It might.
I'm
going to
make
else.
A case for the pulling the building down then, because that is so weird. That is such a weird way to blow up a building, is to pull it out from under it mm-hmm. and then cause an avalanche down
a house
the Hollywood
avalanche.
Hills.
A yeah. house avalanche.
That's pretty fucking wild.
That's so out of control.
But at the same time, they should absolutely be in prison for blowing up an entire building.
They should be in prison for both things. They should be in federal prison for blowing up a building.
Yes, yes, that's true. Fuck.
And then, I mean, like, the office building is making a strong case in my mind.
Because that's the most innocent people endangered in a second.
Right. That's the most innocent people they've put directly in danger at a single time. And they're just crashing through that building.
You could argue that they don't have a choice. They get kind of run off the road. They could stop the car. But
they could, and they don't.
Keep driving. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So, like, I think I'm taking domestic terrorism off the list because it's technically an accident. It's caused by rampant negligence, but
yeah.
Technically Riggs was trying to disarm the bomb.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the house getting tipped over.
Mm. Yeah, fuck, it's hard. I think I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with the house getting tipped over, if for no other reason than the thought of some family, some nuclear family, mom, dad, little bro, little sis, sitting down to eat dinner, and they get fucking crushed by a house rolling through their fucking neighborhood like a tumbleweed. Just like Katamari Damacy.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Ripping up houses, like there's corpses stuck to it as it's tumbling down the mountain.
Yep.
It's just...
Oh, yeah. Starting a whole, just a snowball.
Yeah.
From a drug dealer's house.
Because they never check back in on it.
No, they never do.
He just yanks that building down the hill.
Yep. And then they just move on with their lives.
Yeah.
Causing
zero
horrendous property
consequences.
Damage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are a problem.
Yeah. I guess, like, tweet at us and let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we right? Is there an angle we're missing? What it depends on your definition. I was just thinking of, like, what's the thing they should be the most in jail for?
Oh, man, they should have like 500 years of jail time at this point.
Yeah, they are monsters.
They've done nothing but shatter the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're terrible.
Mm-hmm. They're the worst cops ever.
Worst cops ever. Until the next edition of Worst Cops Ever.
That's true.
Which, spoilers, is a thing that's going to happen.
Yes, we're doing a part two with a whole new batch of Worst Cops. We'll see if you guys can guess who those cops are.
But for now, mm-hmm. I believe that's it.
That's it. That's a series.
Special thanks to John Ryman for making this all happen.
Yeah, big thank you. This was a very good idea for a series.
It was. If you have a good idea for a series, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have many, many tiers. We have a tier where you can produce your own podcast series with us. We have a tier where you can make us do an episode of We Just Watched.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tier where you can just get producer credit for Hypecast and get a shout out. We have a tier where
you get some merch, right? There's some merch involved.
And get some merch, yes. And then we have tiers where you watch movies with us, and you have a tier with the exclusive podcast. So check all that shit out. You'll love it.
We got options, you guys. We got so many options.
So many.
Speaking of options, if you go to tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, you can check out all sorts of options for sweet Gamefully Unemployed merch, like stickers and t-shirts. We got prints, art prints, not prints.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're working on it. We're working on it. Mm-hmm. But check that out.
Check it out.
Mm.
Watch Lethal Weapon 4, maybe?
Maybe. They just moved them all off of Hulu, so you have to rent them now.
No.
So, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, as a whole, having watched this series recently, like in a 2019 light, what do you think of this film series?
Well, we talked about in the first episode, it's Hero Cops is problematic. Mel Gibson is problematic. There's a scene in this where he interacts with a rabbi.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no. Get away from him. Get away from Mel Gibson.
Oh, no.
That the Mel Gibson context aside,
mm-hmm.
There's obviously something very quaint about this type of action. It is, I think we still do it with like Hobbs and Shaw. Like, I think it's the action's been ramped up because of CGI, but this is the equivalent in tone. So I don't know. I don't think this is of a time in terms of style and tone.
Yeah.
It's just sort of the jokes and the people in it.
Right. Some of its elements are what makes it dated.
Yeah. Overall, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all four.
Yeah, they're kind of fucking awesome movies. I'm not gonna lie. They kind of rule.
beginning to end.
Yeah.
I like them all.
Yeah. I was surprised. Like I've liked these movies since I was a kid, and then like I had watched them over again maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and then going into this, I was like, well, maybe they probably won't hold up, but they do.
Yeah. Again, they do and they don't. They
You're
do
right.
in terms of fun action movies.
Right.
In terms of like, yeah, in terms
you,
of...
You have to be able and willing to let a couple of homophobic jokes slide. Cause it's
it
like,
helps to be a straight white guy.
It
and
sure,
watch these
it
movies.
Sure does. Yeah. There's, yeah. It's, man.
You gotta have some sort of privilege to watch this.
You definitely do. You definitely do. Yeah. Man, it was so bad in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like we didn't give a man like that, and like the casual Asian racism is like,
oh
we just,
my God, there's
we fucking
so much of it.
Still don't care about that apparently.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
which is garbage.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean is taking away the context of that as mm-hmm. action movies.
Yeah.
There are still ones made during this time that aren't this bad in terms of
correct. Yeah,
datedness.
This is very, like you said, centrist earlier. It's mm-hmm. it's a centrist kind of blue collar macho movie. So it's like, all right,
yeah,
there's going to be some of that bullshit in it.
Yeah.
But overall, fun.
But yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think we're done. That's it for the worst cops ever.
Yeah. May the force, the police force, be with you.
And also with you.
Nice.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, bye.
Bye.